Lord Jesus, we come before you, our great cornerstone of the faith. We come before you and worship you. You indeed are worthy of all of our praise, all of our adoration this morning. Lord, we sung it loud and we sung it proud this morning. We believe, we trust in you, Lord Jesus, for our salvation, for the needs of this world. Lord, unless you change our hearts, we can't change the world. So, Lord, come and change us. Mold us, revive us. Make us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is willing to lay down his life for the sake of others. Lord Jesus, we come before you. And we pronounce you King, King of our hearts and our lives, King of this world, King of the world to come. Lord Jesus, come and feel your sheep, your lambs this morning. Lord, we are hungry for your touch. The touch of your Spirit alone can revive us, to make us anew, to make us to walk according to your word. Lord Jesus, even come now. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you turn with me in your bulletins to the back middle page there, we have the outline for the message today, and it's entitled Reflections and Resolutions. Reflections and Resolutions. And we're going to be looking into that book of the law, Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. I've been confused over the number of times I've gotten up and spoken in the last couple of weeks, and I wasn't sometimes aware that it was the morning or the afternoon or the evening, and I kept having to shuffle and say, it's evening, good evening, and this morning it's good morning. And it's been a great season, has it not, for Advent, just as we've come together as a church over the course of these past couple of weeks, celebrating an amazing banquet that we had over at Hyde Creek Recreational Center. And just a thought, somebody handed to me a nice ring that was left at Hyde Creek Park, and it's a lady's ring. It looks like it's got some diamonds or some sapphires in it. My gemology isn't up to snuff, so it might be a little askew. But it's got some blue rocks and some shiny white rocks in it. So if you if you are of that ilk and maybe have, what did I do with my ring? Or if you remember, you know, 2 weeks hence, Pastor Larry in his beginning of his message started talking about a ring left at High Creek, and you say, that was my ring. Okay, well, you can talk to your friends and just say, you know, Pastor Larry has a nice ring that he'd be willing to offer to you. So please do come if you know somebody that has lost a ring. During Christmas season as well, I've mentioned that we like to do puzzles as a family, and I'm pleased to inform you that we did complete a 1,000-piece puzzle yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was very exciting for us as a family, you know, putting in that last couple of pieces. We're all struggling to make sure we had the last piece, but of course, I didn't have the last piece. So there you have it. We did do our Christmas puzzle. It was great. I'm hoping that you had some good family time as well, some time that you were able to get together, have some fun as a family, and enjoy each other and enjoy the camaraderie of the Christmas season. Well, we are on the cusp of a new year, as already said. We are looming over the brink, so to speak, leaning in, looking forward to 2016. This time of year is quite easy to get retrospective, to think about those things that have happened over the course of 2015. And we, as a family, like to do that as well. And so I've put together a number of PowerPoint slides over the years from when the kids were very small up into present time, and we were kind of looking at those. I had to get everybody seated down on the sofa in front of the TV, and I plugged in the USB. That didn't work. So I plugged in my computer, and finally it came up, and scrolled through all those pictures. Yeah, we looked and we laughed, and it was exciting, and we had a good time as a family. You say, oh, remember when? Oh, look at that. What a sight. Remember, look at your hair. I mean, come on. Come on, brush that thing, you know, and all those kind of family jokes and inside things that you do as a family and as individuals. We just enjoyed our time together. In being retrospective, we also turn on the radio and we listen to radio programs. Guys are talking about 2015, all those political highlights that have happened over the course of the year. The big newsmaker of the year 2015, of course, was Justin Trudeau coming into leadership with his Liberal Party, and on it goes. You know, we all like to look back and think, what were the good things? What were the bad things that happened in 2015? And then what kind of things can we look forward to in 2016? What is it that our hearts yearn for? What is that we really would like to see in this new year of 2016? And so as we think of this, I think also in way of spiritual retrospective and spiritually looking forward. As we look back in 2015 as a church, what do we see as spiritual highlights as we focused on the Spirit's coming, revival, and all the things that were preached on and spoken on and taught as Westwood Alliance Church? We have some great things that have happened in this past year. Our worship team, you know, kind of morphed and changed up here. Different people came up, played different instruments, and it was a great year of worship. And the ladies' choir came together and belted out some great numbers for us, and we just had some great moments of worship and praise of our God during this year of 2015. Who could forget, you know, our opening of our new wing? You know, as a church, we've been building to that over the course of the year, seeing the structure going up. And then in September, boom, it was there. We cut the ribbon. I didn't cut the ribbon. Pastor Paul cut the ribbon. And we all walked into that new wing and went, oh, wow, is this ever amazing? Look at that. Hey, wow. Hey, that's great. Man, God has done some amazing things, giving us the capital, the ability to put together this wing so that we can welcome more people into Westwood Alliance Church. This is fantastic. And so we oohed and awed and glorified God together of just how he enabled us, equipped us. And then just in this last quarter of the year, we had that crisis that loomed so large in the world with the Syrian refugees. And we just felt as a church, as a leadership, we wanted to do something. We wanted to reach out. We wanted to minister to those Syrian refugees. So formed a small committee and said, guys, let's put our heads together. What can we do? We need to raise. The first thing was we needed to raise enough money to be able to support Syrian refugees. And so we put the call out to the church. We even went to our district and said to the district, hey, we as a church want to sponsor Syrian refugees. And could you help us in way of channeling some money and or helping us organize this, and let's see this thing work and go for us in this year of 2015 and into 2016. And so as a church, we've been able to raise over $70,000. I think for myself as a pastor, that is a huge spiritual highlight for myself as I've seen God's people come together, open up their checkbooks, open up their pocketbooks, and fulfill the needs of those that are least and those that are hungry, those that are needy in our world, especially war-torn Syria. So I want to praise God with you for these things that have been happening in our midst. And I feel so encouraged, you know, as I talk to people and I mix with them, people that come to Westwood often commonly say to me, you know, you, Pastor Larry, you got such a friendly church. They are overly friendly. I mean, I got people stuck on me, you know, and I just came to your church. Like, what's with that? I said, it's got to be God. You know, it's got to be the fact that God is working within us, giving us a sense of love, giving us a sense of wholeness, giving us a sense of unity that isn't common in this world. This world is full of conflict and strife, where in God's house, we continue to pray for His Spirit to work within us. But I say the unity of the church really gives us a sense of spiritual fulfillment as a church, as individuals, and corporately as a body in Christ. That we are a people uncommonly blessed of God, that we can not just get comfortable in our pews and say, man, these pews are kind of cushy, you know, and like the people I'm next to, they smell all right, you know, they look okay, they're well dressed, you know, I can live with this kind of comfort. No, our ideal for us as a church is always to look outside the walls. Look outside what we can do in ministry. Look outside and what we can better our community and our world. And I thank you that you have a hunger to do that along with myself. We are uncommonly blessed in 2015, are we not? I would have to say so. Well, as we look into this book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5 is what I wanted to focus on. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why in the world would you pick a book like Galatians to bring out something like talking about our need to reflect and our need to resolve and look towards 2016? Well, the reason being is that I see in this passage of Scripture in verses 16 through 26, a need for us in way of soaking in the light of the Spirit, but also reflecting on those good and bad things and then working towards what we need in 2016 in our spiritual lives. It says there at verse 16 of Galatians 5, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Well, first of all, I believe this passage exposes us to the light of the gospel of Christ Jesus and to His Spirit. Freedom is a dangerous commodity, really. It's liable to cause us to do whatever we want to do, to do according to our own will rather than to God's holy will. Darkness often hides in a lack of responsibility towards what we need to do for one another and for our world. Galatians is a letter against the Judaizers of old. Judaism was a religion of the law, saying that we must do such and such and do these things often and repeatedly in function of being able to be in a right relationship with God. And so the church was being forced into a mold, so to speak, of keeping of the law in accordance with its Jewish heritage. And Paul argues strongly against that in the book of Galatians. in these chapters, he said there should be no boundaries and restrictions in way of Christianity. You can't formalize a ritualistic pattern in way of the Christian life and say, this is the Christian life. Everyone must fit into this mold. That is gone and done away with. We must walk according to the Spirit and according to His pattern. So he said, out with the law in way of its order and ritual, but in with the Spirit and walking according to the Spirit. Paul said, what that looks like is really in being formed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Formed into what he looks like in his character, in his attitude of heart and life. This is the attitude that we ought to have. And so he talks about encouraging brothers in Christ to live according to their freedom in Christ, but not to live in lethargy, not to live in pride, but to live in humility and to live in love towards one another. It is the light of Christ that we gain true perspective of how we are to live really in this freedom of the gospel. Most crimes are committed in the cloak of darkness. Would you not agree with that? People like to sneak about, skulk in the darkness, and when they think they're hidden and when nobody's looking, then they commit their crime of passion or desire or theft or whatever it might be. And so they think they're covered. They think nobody knows. But the reality is of the gospel is that God knows everything. He shines a bright light in the hearts and the lives of all people. No, nothing is hidden from the light of Christ's word, God's truth, and his all-knowingness. It's like, Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out. You better not pout on and on because he knows. He knows, so you better watch out. Be careful. And so, good boys and girls always have to be careful because Santa Claus is watching or Big Brother is watching. But if we are as Christians, we ought to know that God is watching for the sake of love, for the sake of a relationship, not so much to catch us in a crime, but to instill within us a sense that we are known. We are loved in that intimacy of a relationship with Christ and God. And that relationship and that light that we have, he desires that to be given to other people, that they might know and live in the freedom of Christ. Howard Walters has written something that I always print in the front of every Bible that I put out, and it goes like this. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be strong, for there are many things to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would befriend all, the foe, the friendless. I would be giving and forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and love and laugh and lift. Our purpose in life is not prosperity, just getting more and more wealthy. Our purpose in life is to bless others, to encourage them, to lift them up. The weak, the despised, the heartbroken, the war-weary. Those are the ones that we need, we absolutely need to give to during this season and all the seasons of the year. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We do not live our lives to ourselves. We do not live our lives alone. We live our lives for others, folks. For others. That's a holy purpose and a holy calling. This summer, a group of us guys used to get together and we'd make a couple laps around the stadium, you know, the Coquitlam Stadium together. You know, and I think I better get back in the tune of things, you know, and start doing that jog around the stadium as the Christmas turkey is starting to weigh heavy on me. And maybe some of the rest of you are feeling the same. Maybe one of the resolutions we need to all look forward to is doing a little bit more of this during the new year. Well, when I was running and doing those laps, I always liked to run by the stadium, you know, where all the bleachers and the stands are. And imagine that in those bleachers, in those stands, are all those Christians in history, all those saints of old that have run the race, that have lived their lives to glorify and honor God. There's Moses, there's Paul, there's all the disciples. There's the saints that I have known throughout my lifetime. And they're all in the stands, and they're cheering. Keep going, you're doing great. And I'm huffing and puffing around, you know, thinking, oh, you know, am I going to make it? Am I going to make the next round? I think Don is going to be left in the dust there behind me, and Robin Choi, you know, I think I can beat him today. But they, you know, they're usually, you know, lapping me, you know, so I'm thinking, man, am I going to do it? All the encouragement from thinking of those people in the stands. I'm not alone. The light of the gospel, the light of the church is upon me. It's upon you. It's upon us all. That we run the race not just for ourselves, not just across the finish line for ourselves and do the victory lap. It's for all of us. We're running for our wives. We're running for our children. We're running for our friends. We're running for our family. We're running for God. We're running for Christ. The light of the gospel shines upon us, and that instills within us the power and the ability to push a little harder, to go a little longer and a little farther than what we think we can do and what we can accomplish. And God promises us that He will be with us. His presence is with us. Scripture that tells us that He will never forsake us, that no nakedness, death, or sword, or spear, or anything will separate us from the love of Christ. From His presence with us. The light of the gospel, the light of God's presence, the light of God's church being with us empowers us to live a different kind of life, a life that honors, a life that glorifies God. Live carefully. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and Paul's given us a catalog here of these sins, these things that drag us down, that things that entangle us, that trip up our feet, things of the flesh that even ensnare us, imprison us. How do we overcome these things? Well, Paul in this section says that we must crucify the flesh. We must live according to Christ's crucifixion. He gave Himself over to death, and so must we. Our biggest obstacles for living carefully in this life are that we don't live carefully. We live according to the works of the world. We live according to our own thinking and our own patterns of what success is and what the world tells us success is, rather than what the gospel and the truth of God's word tells us success is. Our faith has made us new creations. As spiritual sons and daughters of God, we have a different spirit living within us than the spirit that's in the world. Paul's brief catalog is, again, not exhaustive here, and you can't just say, well, okay, I'm good. I haven't done any of those kind of things, and so I think I'm good before God. No, it's not a matter of doing good. You know, you just don't run the race to, you know, finish the race or even just run. It's a matter of getting across the finish line in the best way that you can. I think a lot of times when we thinking of the Christian life, we think of it as just doing the bare minimum, you know, to make it into heaven or to get in the right relationship with God, rather than it's an exciting opportunity for us to do and present our best work to God and for those around us. You know, what kid would draw a picture and paint a painting that would be of the lowest caliber that he can do and say, here, mommy, here, daddy, I love you so much. Here it is. It's my bare minimum. And you're like, oh, honey, I love you with my bare minimum. You know, I don't want to give you too much because I don't know how that will affect you. You know, so I'm just going to give you just a little bit of mommy's love. Okay, here it is, just a tiny little bit. And you can give me your little bit and we'll be good. Okay, it doesn't work that way. As human beings, we want to give our best to our kids and our kids want to give the best to us. And it's a glorious love relationship. How much more so our relationship with Christ and God? We don't want to scrape by. We want to do the best that we can do. They say that in the church, you know, the church fills up from the back to the front. You know, if you have to sit in the front, you have to sit in the front. Oh, man, I got to sit in the front again today. Man, it's tough. You know, Christianity is a tough religion. I got to sit in the front of the church and look at that pastor. You know, oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm going to survive another message like that. Folks, we need to get more enthusiastic in 2016. More enthusiastic about our faith, about reading God's word, be more disciplined to give him the best that we can give, not the least that we can give. This catalog, again, of sins is for us to beware of, not involve ourselves with, but not to start pointing fingers at each other and saying, hey, you know, I think there's a little bit of flesh coming into your life there, brother and sister. Let me just help you with that. Let me just give you a critique of how you can do it better, you know? We don't need that kind of judgmentalism within the church. We need a kind of encouragement that says, hey, I see you improving. You're doing great there. Keep it up. You know, I look at people like Rick, you know, Rick Pearson. He's my great encourager in the church, you know, and he's always coming alongside of me and slapping me on the back and saying, great sermon, Pastor, even though I know it probably just, you know, and he said, oh man, you know, I was really rocked when you said that. Or that was great when you did this. Oh man, that's great, Rick. Thank you. I appreciate you, brother. You know, especially when you're feeling kind of, as a pastor, maybe a little bit low, you know, don't think it's really, you know, soared. This one is really soared like you had hoped it had soared. We need people like that in our lives. We need wives, we need husbands, we need kids that come alongside of us, and especially those that are closest to us can be our greatest critics in way of making us crash faster, or our greatest encouragers in making us take off and really hit those heights. What kind of person are you going to be in this year of 2016? Are you going to be ones that point out, criticize, entangle people's feet, make them look bad, make them look like they're tripping up all the time? Or are you going to say, well, that minor thing, you know? That little trip there, minor. I saw you when you're really good, and I know you have it in you. You're going to take off. You're going to be the tops. You're the greatest. This is fantastic. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Did you know that these two words, submit and resist, are military terms? Submit and resist. Military terms. So what's the conflict here? What is the difficulty that we are facing that we have to put so much force into our lives? Submit means to put yourself under God and under his care and power and strength, to yield to God, to his will and to his word. Resist means to take a stand against the devil, to exert the energy and effort to oppose and defeat the devil with temptation and his temptation, to keep your mind and energy focused upon counteracting him. Following God's commandments means resisting the devil. When you do, the most wonderful thing will happen in your lives. The devil and temptation will flee. See, often I think in our lives we think of temptation and difficulty and sin as those things that are really attractive in the world, and we're kind of going with them, and we say, no, I will not do it, no. And I stop, and I say, okay, well, what then? You know, I've cut out all those things that I'm really attracted to and I really want to do. So I kind of feel like I'm in a void, a vacuum. Like, where am I going to go with this? You know, if I'm not doing all that stuff, you know, this catalog in Galatians 5, then what is it that I have to do? How is it that I'm to shape my life? Paul gives us a holistic catalog of another aspect that we need to gear our lives to. That we don't live in the vacuum of just resisting and fighting against temptation in the world, but rather that we live for the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. A powerful passage, a fruit that develops in our hearts and our lives as we seek to live according to God's Spirit and to be filled by His Spirit. Lifestyle is always a choice, and this is my last point here on being filled with the Spirit. If we choose to live like those who will not inherit the kingdom, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some people think, well, it's just what I think. I intellectualize the Christian life. It's just that I have to believe what God has done for me and accomplished in my life. It's more than that. It's a lifestyle. Whoa, a lifestyle. How can I accomplish a lifestyle? By God's Spirit living within us? By having our minds transformed according to His Word and His truth? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. In that sense, our lives are transformed and our lives become what Christ's life is. And it's beautifully spelled out for us here in these verses, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. God must see us drawing near to Him, mourning and crying for deliverance. God must see not a self-sufficiency in spirit, but a spirit that doesn't overlook calling upon Him. God must see a spirit that ignores this world and its temptation, thinking more about God and His Word. God must see us humbly coming into His presence. And this indeed is how we are filled with His Spirit, is if we make ourselves open, available, and we cry out to God and earnestly seek Him. It's not a casual, oh, well, I'm just going to sit in this pew and hope something gets through this, you know? No, it's a, God, please remove all that inhibits and puts barriers in my life. And may you come in and be truly king of my life and truly fill my life that it might be overflowing in all these fruits of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, cast down every imagination and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Filling of the Spirit requires that we know the difference between right and wrong. The believer is to walk in bearing a crucified flesh. Note the word, they belong to Christ, in verse 24 here. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When a person comes to Jesus Christ to save him, he is delivered from the enslavement of bondage to sin, death, and judgment. He does not want to continue being a slave to the flesh, but turns rather to the Spirit and to God for His enablement and for His equipping. 2016 looms before each of us. What kind of spiritual resolutions are you going to make in this year? Not just in way of physically maybe losing a few pounds and jogging around the stadium, but more so in way of taking up God's word more so in your lives and focusing on what God's commands are and living according to His truth and His attitudes of heart. You know, our worlds are taken up with 6 days out of the week focusing upon all this kind of worldly stuff. And then maybe once a week for an hour getting blasted with something spiritual. And we think, you know, how then am I going to live the spiritual life? Folks, we more need to soak into God's word during this year of 2016. Spending more time in His word and His truth. And feeling the encouragement of brothers and sisters. Maybe this year you need to say, I'm going to say at least 10 words during the week that are encouraging to my family. Maybe, hey, your hair looks good this morning. You know, or I like that shirt you're wearing. Or more so, man, you know, I love this about you. I love your laugh. It's infectious. How can we really do that for one another? Prosperity is one thing, but prosperity of the Spirit is so much more. Would you agree? Let's drive and focus on that. During the new year, may you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to keep your needs or meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and determination to make each day better than the day before. Take time to review the past and plan the future. May God bless you as you move into 2016. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we pray today that, Lord, your Spirit would so enable. Lord, if we think we can be successful in the flesh, we know that we will quickly fall.